Präsident weinen. Wusste gewesen der letzte Streu, als amerikanische Präsident Trump soll ausnatterieren bei Freien Rowaschken. Ein Brief in der Bucher, was kann jetzt nach der vier Schleime. Vielmehr über den Telefon für den erstandigen Bericht zum Schriftsteller Rav Revizi Hiesiger. Agit Rav Hiesiger.
Shalom Uvrach, a pleasure to be with you.
Ja, der zeigt ins Maße schon hohe Kachoyo, wie ihr gehört von der ersten Hand.
So I spoke to the parents of this wonderful Bocher. I should be mocked him that they're outstanding people, real Bnei Torah, real Yer Shemayim. I was able to tell just from my exchanges with them what type of people they are. The Hoybin mentioned Mamish. So the story goes back approximately 2 years ago, during the summer of 2015. This Mishpacha was driving on Route 17, and their car was emitting a smell, and they were concerned that they might break down, so they pulled over to the side, and they're waiting, and cars are passing, and finally one van pulls up, a frum lady opens her window, and she asks them what's the matter, and they explain they're having car trouble. So she said, you know what, follow me, I have a bungalow not far from here, in the bungalow colony there's a handy fellow, and he'll be able to look at your car, and maybe he'll be able to determine, you know, what's wrong. They were concerned, where were they going to find a mechanic on a summer Sunday evening in the Catskills? So they followed this woman. In fact, their children didn't want to go back into their car. They were afraid it was going to explode. So they went into this woman's van, and they drove to the bungalow colony. They come to the bungalow colony, and the woman says to them, you know, on the way here, we were schmoozing with your children, and your children told me your maiden name. They told me a little about you. Are you related to this and this person? So they said, yeah, that's our nephew. So the lady says, really? It's your nephew. He's good friends with my husband. Who's your husband?
Oh.
She says, Shalom Mordechai Rubashkin. So they said, oh, wow, so you're Mrs. Leah Rubashkin. She says, yeah. Anyway, they schmoozed a little longer. The fellow looked at the car. He determined that there was nothing wrong with it. Whatever the smell was perhaps coming from their brakes or some other issue, but nothing to be concerned about, and that they'd be able to drive home. So they're about to leave the bungalow colony. And Mrs. Rubashkin says, wait, where are you going? They said, we're going home. She says, no, you have to stay for supper. I'm already preparing food. I put food on the grill. We'll make a barbecue. I even have a special shchita that I know you'll like and you'll be comfortable with. To make a long story short, they stayed for supper. They had beautiful conversation, and they were extremely touched by the graciousness, the chesed, of Mrs. Rubashkin and her family. That's the end of the first part of this beautiful story. The second part is, you fast forward a little, this mishpacha, they have a bacher, a son who has a disability, and because of his disability, he was eligible. Many of your listeners know of the organization called Make-A-Wish Foundation. It's a non-Jewish foundation, a non-profit organization that allows children with serious illnesses to make a request. They could be what they want. They could go where they want. They could meet whoever they want. So they applied for this wish, and you can imagine the different options that this particular bacher could have taken advantage of: a trip to Eretz Yisrael, maybe with his ganze mishpacha, maybe a trip to Switzerland, maybe go to Disneyland for a week. You can imagine the options were endless.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he chose a specific wish, and they sent in their application to Make-A-Wish Foundation. At a later juncture, a little later, he decided he wanted to change his wish. And he decided that he wants to meet with the President of the United States.
Huh?
And they submitted their wish, and they got back a message from the foundation that there are other people who are also waiting to meet with the President. And they wanted to know exactly why he wanted to meet with the president, but he didn't want to say. But to his mishpacha, he told them why he wanted to meet with President Trump. And he explained that he wanted to meet with the president because he wanted to ask the president to pardon Shalom Mordechai Rubashkin.
Uh-huh.
He always heard his parents talk about the Rubashkins. He had heard that Shalom Mordechai is in jail, an unfair and cruel 27-year sentence. And he wanted to do, he wanted to give back and do something for someone else. He had always been a recipient of other people's chassadim. Now he wanted to do something for Yenim. Anyway, in the meantime, in the meantime, the Friedmans were contacted by the Rubashkin family. They had originally, I should explain that before they submitted their wish, they contacted the Rubashkin Mishpacha because they wanted to make sure that whatever behind-the-scenes efforts there were, leaked, you know, from a legal standpoint to help the Rubashkin Mishpacha, they wanted to make sure that contacting the president wouldn't in any way stir those efforts. And the Rubashkins told them not to worry about it. They should go ahead. It's a beauty. They were extremely touched by this boy's desire to help Shaul Martzer. Anyway, in the meantime, they sent in their request. The Mishpacha was told by the Rubashkin family to write a letter to the legal team, meaning, in this case, Alan Dershowitz, write a letter explaining what his goal is in meeting the president. This past Aseres Yimei Tshuva, about 3 months ago, this Bacher and his parents sat down at the kitchen table and they wrote a letter to Alan Dershowitz. So the letter was not written to the president, it was written to attorney Dershowitz, and the letter is actually written by the Bacher's mother on behalf of her son. And in the letter he explains, first of all, he encourages Mr. Dershowitz to proceed and to work hard on behalf of Shaul Mordechai, to do everything he can to get him released. And in the letter he explains that he wants to meet the president to request a pardon, and how disturbed he is by the sentence, and how he and his mishpacha a few summers ago were recipients of the chesed of the Rubashkin family. And he even mentions over there how bothered he is, as a disabled child himself, how bothered he is to know that the Rubashkin child, Moishi, who is autistic, unfortunately has to go day by day, week after week, month after month, without his father at home. And the Mishpacha sent this letter. They didn't know what it was going to accomplish. They just wanted to be Mishtatev in the Tsar of Nochayid and do their Hishtadlus. On Wednesday, December 20th, Zois Chanukah, which we know is the Gemar, Chasima, Shaul Mordechai was released from prison. Everyone knew, everyone found out very quickly that President Trump had commuted his sentence. Shortly thereafter, the Mishpacha, this family, they got a phone call from Rabbi Bayarsky from the Aleph Institute, who told them that the Rubashkins want to meet them, the father, the son, and to say thank you. So now when we look at it now, looking back, there was a global effort to help Shaul Martzer. We know about many people, including Bereishim, Rabbi Lipschitz from the Yated, and then the other Chashev HaAskonim. We all know people who wrote about it, and were mefarsim, unbelievable devotion of Klal Yisrael as a whole. But amidst all that, there was a disabled Bacher somewhere in New York who was worried about it also, and he did his little act. That as Shaul Mordechai came together with his mishpacha, there was this disabled boy who also had a dream to see Shaul Mordechai come home, and he had done what he did. So, before I get to the end of the story, last Tuesday, Shaul Mordechai went to this family's house with his attorney, and he met with them and he thanked them. And it was at that time that they were told that the letter that this Bacher had written was on the table of the United States President during Hanukkah. Now, we don't know exactly what the letter accomplished. We don't know, was it a deciding factor? We don't know if it was a component of the president's decision. But we know that the letter was on the table in the Oval Office during Hanukkah. The lesson of the story, as I spoke to the Bacher's parents, the main goal is that they want people to know what happened, not because of the sensationalism of the story, but because you could see that a Yid could do for another Yid, even when it involves sacrificing something and giving up something. You know, I commented to the Bacher's father that in retrospect, really, his son didn't even get his wish, because his wish was to meet with the president. He never ended up meeting the president. So I said, really, we should contact the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and we should tell them to give him a different wish, because he never really got his wish. But You know, I said that for Melissa. But another lesson that the Bacher's father wanted us to learn is, you see the power of a yachid. A Bacher, on his own, in his house, came up with this idea, and you see how far reaching someone's efforts could go, that all he did, he came up with a, and I want to be meisif, that this family does not have a computer and they do not have internet in their house.
Oh, wow.
That, so this whole accomplishment was achieved without any of that. They had the Rotson to do it. This Bacher had a Rotson to do it. And they wrote a beautiful letter. And the letter ultimately ended up where they wanted it to be. And finally, the father told me, he said, look at his son. The son is disabled. But he was able to accomplish what many more powerful and influential people could not. So the lesson is never underestimate people. The power of one person is unbelievable. And finally, what the Bacher himself related, he said that on Hanukkah, his tefillah was answered in a real way. He said, I asked the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to show me a sign, a siman min hashamayim, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam sent me the siman when Shalom Aruch was released. So that's the tefillah, that's the story, Metchila v'Atzofei, as it was related to me by the Mishpacha themselves. And I must tell you again, I said this at the beginning, I'll reiterate. These are the Hoibina mention, Reina mention, such beautiful people. I feel so fortunate to have spoken to them. Klal Yisrael should feel fortunate that we have Azelecha mention among us. And I continue to be supremely inspired, not only by Shalom Aruch and his Mishpacha, and by his children, and by the extended family, but by God's Klal Yisrael, how everyone came together b'achdus in such spontaneous and impromptu joy. And the Mitzvah Hashem, this achdus should serve as a tremendous chus for God's Klal Yisrael. We should be zeichem Mitzvah Hashem b'korif to see the Gula Amiti.
Umein wo umein, a größen Schkoch von Mitteilung der Geschichte der Stantik. In Sieden sind im Spall von dem Kusche von Bucher, also so wie ihr bei Wissen zu befreien, Reb Shulam Atche, so der Kohl Juchlein befreien von seiner Laden. Das hier ist Teufels.
Amen, amen. Schkoch noch einmal.